like in Hindi, but they have put it mutra. So of course that is the English style. Now Delhi is not Delhi, but it is Dilli, but in English it is called Delhi. So she has gone through all these things, and according to that, of course, he has put. So you need not worry about the names and places, the spelling. Other thing, that you will find that I asked him, and he said that according, just like, you know, Baba met Baba Jan, afterwards he met Narayan Maharaj, not Sai Baba, or Upasani Maharaj. So according to that, he has put the names. Just like Baba Jan, then afterwards Narayan Maharaj. So you need not worry about it. About this. Only thing you just see that whether it is properly presented. Only thing that if there is that question of language, you correct that. Otherwise, you know, there is no end to it. If you just take so much trouble, just compare this and compare that, then of course it is no good. Only thing you just see that whether there is anything wrong in the language. Language you can change. You can make put in better way if there is any mistakes in language. But other thing, of course, you should not bother about it, because it will be too much for you, and you will just go on and then will feel confused. So whatever is there, just pay attention to the language and don't think about any other thing. It will become, you will always feel confused, because whatever is there, David has not done anything. What does he know about all these things? But because of my notes there are certain things which I did not include. But the notes are there. Did not include in a sense because it was too long. So certain things I just omitted. And he has put, because he feels that it is interesting. Just like discourses. I put discourses in the beginning given by Baba. I did not include. I wanted to have another book for that. But it is good. Then I also realize that it is good if they are included in this book itself, because it comes according to the context. So for that purpose, you don't go about this way, that way, compare this. Why do you take so much time for that? It is no good. Only thing, you just see that whether it is smooth or not. If it is smooth, only just see that whether the language is proper or not. You give touches to the language, put it in better way. But don't spend time on that. And if you go on doing that, then of course there is no end to it. So just forget about that. Whatever he has done, you just go through it, correct the language, and forget about other things. Because I am responsible in that case. Whatever is there, I am responsible. But if you just go on just comparing this, that, then of course so much time is spent for that, so much energy is spent for that, and then of course you will feel confused all the time. There is nothing. Just like now, if the order is changed, after Baba Jan, if Narayan Maharaj comes, what is bad in it? There is nothing. So, just take it from me that I will be pleased if you just go through the text, don't compare, and give touches to the language. If the language, you find that it is no good. But I tell you that Baba always likes simple language. He did not. Like complicated language and simple language, and that language should touch the heart. It should not become dry. It should be full of love. That should be there. Did not, because you know, there were poets and writers, and once I read out certain things to Baba, and he said, what is there? Only language? There is no heart in that. But this is all dry. So language wise also, it should not be dry. It should be just, it should touch the heart. And the love should flow. Now in other books, of course, we'll find the dates and this and that, something, the stories. But I tell you, I don't depend upon any other books. Now, pardon, he wrote the book. Whether he was here with Baba, he was not here. Whatever he, of course, received from different people, he has written. But he did not know anything about it. Now, I tell you about Dhuni. First time it was lighted on 10th November. But Pendu of course said that no, it was not November, it was some July or this. He forgot the date. And then Padri also accepted. But here I have got the poetry written by Padri himself. And here he had given the date. So one should not depend upon the memory. I tell you that I verified the facts I have gone through the record, different things are there. So whatever I have done, you just depend upon that. You don't depend upon any other book. I have nothing to do with any other books. I don't think that the facts are there, because different people, they have written so many things and they depended upon different things. They never verified the facts, but I was the one who was just working and I have verified the facts, these dates, and I have got also the proof. So why do you just think about other books and you read and then you feel confused? Nothing. If there is anything, I am responsible for that. If the facts are not there, I will be responsible. I worked on it. So I know. You don't feel confused about such thing and you don't devote, spend your time for this. I tell you, you just have to see whether the language is proper or not. Only you are responsible for the language. You are not responsible for facts or anything. It is not your business. Your business is just to see whether the language is proper or not. About, so you just see to the language, at the same time design and layout and different things, how you should present the book. That part you see. Don't worry about whether this is a fact or not. Fact means I am the writer. I am responsible for that. So while you worry, you make it clear that he has given this and of course I language, of course I polish the layout, I did, I design and different things you can put. There is nothing. And if you just go on doing like this, then it takes a long time and you feel confused and the result, of course, the chaos, I should say. You feel upset and then, of course, it is not proper. So I just tell you that go through it. Just polish the language. Design, you are responsible. Layout, you are responsible. All these things you do. But about the fact, you know, that in other book, of course, it is like this and in this book it is like that. Nothing of that sort. You know. Nothing of that sort, and so many things are published and these are not the facts. Even Padri, then he was talking about the Dhuni doing Amartiti. And of course he was telling different things wrong, all wrong about the dates and different things. Then I approached Padri. And I said, why? It is not correct when you say this. See the poetry you wrote on Dhuni. And it is written by you. And if Pendu says anything, why should you accept? This is there. So the facts are different and you tell different things. But he says that, no, Pendu told me, that's why I am doing this. I said, why? You don't remember, it is alright, but here the facts are there. All these people who are writing, of course the record is there. Record is there, and if something happens and wrong, the facts are mentioned wrongly, then of course say in future people will find out. So, we have no concern with other books written by other people. I am responsible for what I have written. And you just take it for granted that whatever is there, of course I did it. With great trouble. Nobody took so much trouble as I did. So why worry about this and you just go through this book and that book. Don't go through any other thing. Only thing, just see that the language is polished. That's all. And then other thing for publication, design, layout, all these things. And a lot of work is there. So you do that part and let it be as such. Don't worry about it. And you should not devote so much energy for just going through this and going through that. Don't do that. Whatever is given to you, you just see whether it is proper or not. Whether the language is good. Proper or not means, in the sense, whether it has come from heart or not. Heart always, you must see that the heart is there. It should not be just intellectually represented. I don't like that. Even this simple language, and even if the grammatical mistakes are there, I would like, but it should be from the heart. It should not be dry. Dry thing, of course, Baba has particularly asked me that the book should not be dry. It should be from the heart. It should touch the heart. The language should be simple. So, that much, you should just think over that and do accordingly. Even when you polish the language, see that the heart is there. It should not become dry. And this is a great responsibility. I should say, it is a great responsibility. And if you do it, you will do it under Baba's instruction. But if intellectually high sounding words and this and that, I tell you it becomes dry and it does not appeal. It does not appeal. So, you need not have to worry about it. Just polish the language in beautiful way. And it should just, be a full of love. Then that is language. Otherwise, That is not the language of wine. It is just the intellectual interpretation, the dry thing. The next thing is that my mom is Lindsay. She is really very, very good. And I tell you, she will be a perfect companion to you. So just remain together, close together. And of course, you know, I have taken promise from her that she would look after you. She would see that you are not very much harassed or this or that. She will take care of you. She is very, very nice. You also be nice to her and just very, very loving. You are of course very loving and very good person, full of love. Heart is good. So it is a very good combination. And of course, I want that both of you just remain dedicated to the cause, and then of course you both serve the cause together. On your wedding day, of course, I went to Baba's tomb and I prayed for you both with all my heart. And of course, when I came back, here Sheila and Rama and Nihannath and David, they celebrated your birthday and I got a very good dinner.
Yes. So my mummy, and now you are my dad. So mummy and dad, I tell you that I love you both. I've got love. Don't think that I feel upset about anything or this or that. There is nothing of that sort. I love you both. I love you. There is nothing, nothing, nothing. Take it from me. And I just want that you grow in Baba's love. Grow more and more in his love. And he is there to help you because you remain dedicated to his love. You want to serve his cause and you are serving. What more do you want? Forget the world. Forget the criticism of the world. Forget everything. Just hire him and serve him. That should be there. And then there will be no difficulty, nothing. Hermes, you don't remain there. Just make Baba present there. My mummy should just make Baba there, present there. And nothing, no concern with anyone, whether good or bad or anything. If they praise, it is all right. Let it is for the Lord. If they criticize, you just give it to the Lord. Surrender it to the Lord and just remain unaffected if you wholeheartedly wish to serve him. He is there. He is the real one. He is the real one. We are just nothing but like a shit. Full of so many impressions, so ignorant. We don't know. He is the one. So merciful, so compassionate that of course he gives Satan. So we should not think that we are like this or that or that. What is there, you know, when we are thinking, we are so ignorant. How can we say anything? He is the Lord. He is the almighty, loving, compassionate Father. We must remain dedicated and we must make ourselves the dust of his feet. That should be our motive. And I just expect from you, this wedding, that you just think that this wedding is nothing but to serve him and to become the dust of his feet. We both wish and long to serve him, and that's why we have come together, so that both of you can serve the Lord with all love and all heart. That should be the motive, and I just expect this much from you. I just demand from you. And nothing else, nothing else. You just remain happy in his love and serve his cause. You are very, very dear. Both of you. Very dear to me, I tell you. I tell you, very dear to me. And I love you both. And I'm happy that you both are together. Just remain together, lifelong, and serve his cause. And the Lord will see that whatever you do for him, even if it is not appreciated by the world, he appreciates. He's the one. Of course, if you please him, you need not have to please the world. Why should you please the world? You just please him. It is your duty. It is your responsibility. He is there, the Lord. most compassionate, the real one. Just try to live for him and remain unconcerned with the world. It does not mean that you should hate the world. Just show his love for them and nothing else. Don't get upset for any other thing. I know how much you love Meharnath and Srila, and that's why you want that I should not bring the trust there just to give money to the trust. You want that. You wish that. I make you free. And in future, of course, whatever happens, of course, we'll check it out. Don't worry about that. I've given them instruction. I want that they should remain dedicated. They should not attach themselves for the sake of money or this. Just serve Baba's cause. I left everything and came to Baba. Left everything. Not that I was just a pauper or this or that. But I left everything and came to Baba. And of course I forgot everything. I don't remember and don't think about any other thing which I have already left. What is there? There is nothing, you know. So, whatever is there, of course, if it is utilized for Baba's cause, I will feel happy. And I have given instruction to Meharnath and Srila, of course, just now, just like you told me that you have no concern with the trust for this purpose. All right, accept it. You just think that, of course, I make you free for that. It is for me, not for me, I have already told them, it is for them to see that Baba's cause is third and they, of course, that they remain dedicated to Baba's cause. It is for them. It is also for me also that I should also remain unconcerned about this. And whatever you say, I appreciate your feeling, your love for them. And of course, you are free from that. When you come next, we'll discuss about it. And don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Certain things, of course, when I say with some purpose. So don't take it into your heart. Just think that I am your friend, I am your brother, I am your now son. So have that feeling. And don't feel upset for anything. Because when there is love, of course, there is nothing. So have that feeling. And forget about anything. Don't feel upset for anything. You are so dear to me. Why should you feel upset? For anything, if it happens, or if someone says anything, or someone says other thing, why should you upset? You are concerned with the Lord, and that you are doing this work because you think that it is the wish of the Lord. How great you are! Just stick up to that. Don't think about any other thing. You are very, very dear to me, and your laugh makes me happy. Your laugh. Always I remember, Hamis. Always I remember. And here, of course, don't forget six kerchief for Muhammad. He always reminds me. And I don't tell anyone. Because, you know, it will be good if you give the kerchief yourself to Muhammad. It will be nice. But I don't say that you should send the kerchief. When you come, you bring. And he'll feel happy. And, of course, when you come next, of course, come with my mummy, and I will enjoy your company. My mummy came here, of course, I felt so happy, when you come here, I feel happy, but I don't say that you should positively come, when it is convenient to you, come here, you spend some days with us, with the mummy members, and of course, you will also feel happy, because whatever, what happens when one is away, then of course different things happen and one feels confused. But I tell you, everybody, everyone here loves you. Everyone knows how sincere you are, how dedicated you are in Baba's cause. What more you need? You don't need that the worldly people, of course, people should appreciate you, praise you. Hey, there is no need for that. You just see that the Lord is pleased and that is more than sufficient. More than sufficient. So don't worry for anything, my dear friend, my daddy, and my mommy. Please just be together, love each other, and let Hermes laugh and laugh so that I may hear here and I may also feel pleased. I wanted to withdraw gradually from the trust work, and I told my mummy Lindsay, but I tell you that I am more involved. I am dealing with this land for the present, and how to describe, I spend every day hours and hours. I go to Arangaon village, and the people, they fight and abuse and this and that, and sometimes I just wonder what patience my Lord has given to me. What patience? I just, no one in the world, including my members, they cannot pass through such a thing. And I remain there, I keep quiet. They abuse and fight hours together. But there is one piece of land, about 54 acres, adjoining our trust estate. And anyhow, I just want to have that piece of land. Of course, it is not possible for the trust to purchase the land because the sitting is there. And I'm just thinking how to adjust because it is very useful for the trust. I'm also including certain individuals, but they are not coming forward. And it is such a headache for me how to do it and how to adjust. Still, I don't know what courage my Lord has given to me. I go every day and I'm dealing with this problem, and I don't know how long will it take to solve this problem, to purchase that land. Money is not there, and we cannot purchase from the trust. Only those individuals who can contribute and purchase in their names, and then they donate to the trust after converting into non-agriculture, then it is possible. So it is a very, very difficult problem for me. And not only this issue, I am just dealing with this land only. I've got so many things, don't find time. I wanted to write to you long letters, but no time for that. And fortunately today, when I came back from Hyderabad, I just felt that I should say something to you, send a tape to you, so that, of course, whatever I want to convey, and you may know that. And that's why this tape is there. Now, Mehnath has joined law college. And, of course, Sheila is there. Still, she has to appear for the examination. And it is not possible for her to appear. I don't know when she will appear. But she has to pay the college fee and examination fee. And everything she does. But maybe next year she may appear, I don't know. Then there is nothing for me, you know. Don't think that I am just depressed or financially. Whatever is there, I just pull on. There is nothing. The Lord is there. Don't worry about anything. Just remain happy. Do whatever is possible for you in Baba's cause. And don't worry. Don't worry, my dear friend, my dead daddy. Laugh. Just laugh. And make my mummy laugh. And be happy and cheerful in his love. Jai Baba to you. Have very happy married life in his cause and serve his cause. The Lord is there to help you. Jai Baba.
Hermes and Lindsay, Jai Baba.
Jai Baba and happy
life together.
Together.
Don't fight as much as Sheila fights with me, Lindsay, eh?
Hey, come on, I don't fight with you. I don't fight.
Be a good wife now. He's a good man there.
Why?
Don't give my friend trouble.
What do you mean by that?
No, I'm talking to Hermes, man to man. Now you can say something to Lindsay. Yeah.
Lindsay, fight. And always keep him in your hand. Yeah. Don't leave him. And if he does something wrong, you should scold him. Don't leave. Because this is not good. You should learn in a like.
Mommy wants to say, wait a minute. Mommy.
Okay.
Jai Baba.
Jai Baba, Lindsay and Hermes.
Happy?
Wedding.
In Baba's love. Yes. Yes, that's right. That's the time we both met him physically for the first time, but obviously we've been in contact with him for a long time before that.
Okay. Yeah. And how did Dorothy come about that?
I don't know the story of how I can follow.
how Baba contacted me to you. It's not a long one. Well, I didn't really. I mean, quite in that way. I mean, because it was on the mental plane, you see. This is what was is complicated about it. I was being psychoanalyzed at the time. Thank you. I was being psychoanalyzed at the time, and I started having an extraordinary experience. I referred to him as my Persian prince, this character, and this Persian prince was giving me esoteric teaching. I mean, I'd been a great reader of philosophy all my young life, and suddenly, I mean, I was being given accounts of things, yes, in a completely new dimension. And as I was being psychoanalyzed, I naturally told this to my analyst. And at the end of a week, the analyst said to me, "Look here, you have found your a yes man. Unless you give him up, I refuse to continue the analysis." And I was so excited about this, you see. And and he also said to me that I was actually lying, you see, that I was trying to make myself self-important, and I was lying. And I said, "Look here, you can't have it always. If I'm lying, I've no business to be in psychoanalysis because I'm a sage. Yes, this was before I actually met Bob. I mean, yes, this was in the 1940s. And I said, "Look here, this is no good, you see." And he got very angry and argued with me. And I went home. I'd gone to him in the first place for migraine, and the anger and distress at being told I couldn't continue my analysis if I didn't stop lying and telling these enormous fibs. And I went back home on the Friday. I remember it was my Friday morning session. I went back home. I was married to Hugh Kingsmill at the time, and I went straight to bed because I used to get blinding migraines. And it was very unfortunate because at the end of 6 months of analysis, the migraines had stopped. But this frightful shock and experience brought a migraine back. And I'd gone to bed, and my husband came to me and said, "I'm going down to the library. Can I get you a book?" And I said, "Yes, but so long as it's a novel. I don't want any philosophy. I don't want anything about psychoanalysis." Okay. And around tea time, he came back from the library and put on my bed a book, and I looked at it, and it was called The Perfect Master by Charles Purdom. And in my irritation and general distress, because Hugh Kingsmill was a very kind and nice person indeed, I picked up the book and knocked it down on the floor. And Hugh Kingsmill bent and picked it up, and it had opened to the photograph at the beginning. And he handed it to me, looking at me very reproachfully for my bad manners, and I let out a yell. I said, "But this is my Persian prince. Look, this is the man that's been talking to me." Well, of course, I forgot I had a migraine, and I spent the rest of the day reading the book, and of course, being a quick reader and absorbed. I mean, by the evening, I'd read it. I hadn't absorbed it, but at least I'd read it. And I was confirmed in, well, I knew that I'd had this experience. And I wrote at once over the weekend, because at the end of the book was getting contact with Will Beckett, there was the address. I wrote to Will. He got it on the Monday morning, my letter saying, and I'd said, "Please telephone me when you get this." He telephoned me and said, "Would you like me to come and see you today?" I said, "Please come as soon as you can." And he came on the Monday afternoon. I told him my experience, and I said, "My analyst won't go on with my analysis." He said, "Well, I don't know what you can do about that," but he said, "Your experience, of course, is quite genuine. This is how Baba works." These were his. He said, Baba is calling you. He's calling you to him. And I can't quite remember how I managed to get back into analysis, but I did get back.
You got a message from Barbara.
Yes. I got a message, yes. Telling me to apologize to my analyst and to say that it was very important I completed, I went on with my analysis, and even if I had experiences with him again, not to tell them that it wasn't necessary to the analysis to tell these experiences. And so I did as I was told. I mean, he'd given me all sorts of other instructions too, so I followed the instruction. But after that one instruction and I got back into my analysis, the talks ceased. But by that time, I was in touch with Will. I'd been given the address in India, but unfortunately couldn't write because the war was still on. You see, couldn't...
If you had to guess, what year would you say this took place?
I would say this was around 1943, or about 1943. And so I had to wait a while. But having read The Perfect Master once, I mean, I was able to read it again and again and again. And the more I read it, the more I felt, without actually seeing Barbara as a visual person, I still felt in contact. It's a very mysterious story to tell. But you see, I got back into analysis. An analysis, of course, is never finished. There comes a point when the analyst either has had enough of you or you've had enough of him or her, and it ends. But, I mean, it can go on all one's life because analysis is just self-confrontation. Mm-hmm. But I did enough analysis, I mean, to enable me to stand on my own feet up to a certain extent. But that was how I contacted Barbara. But and as soon as I wrote off to India straight away. But you see, I was ages, and probably some months or so before I got. And I got a wonderful letter from Barbara saying, yes, that I was quite correct that I had contacted him. And when I told this story once when Kitty Davis was there, and she sat up and she said, Dorothy, You didn't contact me here, Barbara. He contacted you. I said, well, whichever way you like to put it, Kitty, have it. You can have it both ways. So that's the story, and that's how I came to it.
And then you all were married before you left on 52.
Yes, we. Dorothy's former husband died in 1949. Dorothy, when we met. Mayor Barbara physically, Dorothy and I had lately settled down together, and she told me one evening that she had to get up early next morning because she was going to see Mayor Barbara. She had had word that he was in England, and she was going to see him, and she had to go to the Charing Cross Hotel early in the morning. This was something like 7 o'clock, even, I think, or 8 o'clock. And I said, if you're going across so early in the morning, across the park, I'll come with you. She told me a little about Barbara, but I had taken no special interest in it. Dorothy knew a great deal about philosophy and religion, and we had various talks, but I had no more distinguished Meher Baba from any of the other subjects we discussed, and I came solely out of curiosity.
And that was the time that you were working as a journalist in London?
I was working as a journalist, yes. I'd been chucked out of the magazine that I'd been editing for a number of years, and I was now living as a freelance and doing work in radio and television and so on. I enjoyed meeting people and was interested in meeting people, and went to meet him as I might have gone to meet someone who was a writer or a sculptor or a politician. And we waited in the corridor for some time.
And I thought, this is a very strange bunch of characters that are assembled here. We're a lot of very odd fish. And in course of time, Dorothy and I were called in together. My memory is of a very commonplace room, a sort of room where business managers meet their travellers in order to show their samples for the new season and talk about their wares to them. But instead of a business manager and commercial travellers, there was a row of faces who I think of as being all Indian, so I don't remember whether they were. And in the corner was this middle-aged man, a very striking appearance, in a white robe, and he was seated on a couch with one leg up, because his leg was all in plaster. And he welcomed us, and he put Dorothy to sit down opposite him, and he was, as it were, sitting here, and Dorothy was sitting there, and I was beckoned to sit down close beside him. So I sat there. And then, Dorothy, you'd better tell what happened. Yes. He immediately turned to Dorothy.
He had asked me why I had come. And I went... And I simply couldn't speak. And I almost got hysterical with the effort. And I suddenly thought, well, this is silly. And I managed to blurt out, Barbara, I can't speak. And Barbara said, neither do I. I said, yes, but you don't speak because you don't want to. I want to speak and I can't speak. And then at that, Barbara looked at me quite closely, a flash, I suppose, because it seemed an eternity to me. And he suddenly did this. And he went like this to me. And I knew what he was saying. You see, he was telling me that I live too much in my head. You see? And he looked at me very sweetly, took my hand, and just said, I will help you. And then pushed me to one side and spoke to him.
Well, I've been sitting there, engaged in watching this scene and taking it in. I've relapsed into being a journalist who is always on the outside of things and is never personally involved, and I was fascinated by this spectacle. I was very concerned for Dorothy because I knew how much this coming to meet this master had meant to her, and when she couldn't speak, I was very concerned for her.
I was so distressed.
And then Barbara looked at me, and of course he had this very piercing gaze, and he said, "And what have you come here for?" I say he said, of course it was Eric speaking. I didn't know one from the other. I just knew somebody spoke. And when he said this to me, what do you come here for? I suddenly felt drawn into the picture instead of being sitting on outside. But I said the first thing that came into my head, I only wanted to see you. And Barbara flung up his arms as though this were the most wonderful response anyone could give, you know, a profound spiritual significance. It was just curiosity, in fact. And then he looked at me and he said, "And do you like me?" And this was an absolute arrow in the heart, you see. I suddenly found myself wanting to say, "I love you, Barbara, I love you." And but I was, of course, too paralyzed by inhibition and conventionality, egotism, everything you can think of, to be able to say this. But with great difficulty at last I managed to say, "Yes, Barbara, I like you." And Barbara smiled, and he said, I like you. And he touched me. And that was the sole conversation that passed to and fro at this time. And then Dorothy's young daughter was brought in, who was a girl of about 15 or 16. And she was sat down in front of him. She had no idea who he was or anything really about him. But Barbara looked very sweetly at her, and she looked very trustingly back at Barbara. And Barbara at once started quite a long conversation. He talked far more to her than he had to either of us. And he was asking her what she was going to do.
Could I just cut across again? Have you not a little confused two things? I think we didn't take Dorothy on that occasion.
Oh, it was in 1956.
It was in 1956 that Barbara saw Dorothy.
All right, then
yes, you must cancel that part. Dorothy wasn't brought on that occasion. It was in 1956 that I took Dorothy along to meet him, and Barbara talked to her for nearly 20 minutes about her future. And he talked brilliantly about it. She didn't follow his instruction, and I've often thought that that her not following it has been the cause of the much trouble she's had.
Yes. Uh-huh.
However, that's the detail.
Do you happen to sort of recall the date this happened in Charing Cross? August?
It was something like that, yes. It was the 1952 visit to England, so you can corroborate.
It was the summer.
There's no mention of what day he met people in Charing Cross. It just says one day.
Yes.
But you don't happen to remember.
No.
When I look in my notebooks for the date, I shall have a record of it. When I look in it, I'll send it to you.
Yes.
Now, just a minute, before you go any further, Ken Lawton and Alice also met him at that time. So if you like, you talk to them. And
now, you two met him, so...
So...
Under your
act. Save you moving, they can...
There was quite a new model of in that 52 in England.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Quite a good one.
Many more in 56.
Yes. Because of 52, if I remember it rightly, they were mainly elderly people.
Yes.
I think we were the youngest people.
Yes,
we
were.
We were.
Yes.
They were mainly elderly people at that time.
Mostly through Will.
Yeah. Mostly through Will Beckett, yes.
Yes. I got into touch with Barbara Teaton through Dorothy.
Yes.
And that would be round about 47.
Yes.
You were interested in
spiritual? Oh, yes, before. But it was 47.
Yes.
I think it was 46 or 47 I met
him. Yes.
Maybe it was 47.
Yes.
And you learned me the discourses.
No, not the discourses. All right.
Yeah. Perfect master, first of all,
present,
yes. And then yes. The discourses afterwards. But at long talks.
Yes.
Weekly talks and Bible. And we came along to the 52 meeting, my wife and I, and we brought three of the children, three sons with us.
What
were
their names?
Your names? No. The first one, the eldest was Cedric Peter. What was it at the time? Do you want his date of birth?
Yes.
Yeah. 27th of September, 1946. That's right. And Edwin was the 27th of November, 49. And David was the 11th of July, 1951. So he was a baby in arms at the time. Well, my wife was just reminding me that she didn't want to go that morning because I think it was a Saturday morning, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Saturday morning.
Just one day and Barbara left people trying to
cross. Yes. Just one day.
Just for the public. Yeah. Public. And... So she didn't particularly want to go because it was a bit of a hassle to get the, particularly with a young baby, to get the children ready and to come.
I was also now pregnant.
Yeah. So didn't want to really to come. But we did, and we all went in together, didn't we?
Yeah.
And if I remember rightly, we knelt down in front of, I remember kneeling down in front of
You didn't. I didn't.
Yes. Yes, I knelt down in front of him. The only words that, you know, the only message that came up was, open your heart. I was, and I always say,